D-Mace, Finnegan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3 the game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Derek Mason, Adam Finnegan here with you. Willie Donick out today. He will be back tomorrow. Predators at Blue Jackets tonight at 6, pregame at 5, right here on 102.5, 106.3 the game. Jared Stillman says that Barry Trotz will join him at 4 o'clock today instead of the usual 5 with the early start time. So Barry Trotz will be on with Jared Stillman today at 4 o'clock. Actually, before we get to the tush push, Derek Mason, speaking of Jared Stillman, there was one thing I wanted to ask you about. So Jared theorized on his program yesterday. I just want to make sure I have this correct, so I'm just going to read straight from the tweet. He said, quote, "I believe the Titans, in a perfect world in their minds, would trade the number one pick for a Hall, most likely to the Giants, and then would take Shedeur Sanders with the 3rd overall pick, or maybe even later." Earlier in the show, he had a segment. Quote, "I don't think the Titans want to draft Cam Ward at number one. I think they want their cake and to eat it, too. They want to trade the pick and get the player they want," which he would believe in this theory to be Shedeur Sanders. How much do you believe that?
I mean, I'm not going to. It's just his thought. I wouldn't lean that way. I know I've said that I think the Titans are in a position of, let me see, unless you give me something, and we're assuming that based upon what has been sort of out there, and not that it's true, but what is out there, the Titans want 3 first-round picks or 2 first-round picks. Let's just say that. Unless somebody's willing to give us that, and they probably know it's a tad bit too high, but what the hell? Unless somebody ain't willing to give me that, we're good with taking Cam Ward. I think that's how they feel. We're good with taking Cam Ward. We see him and envision him as a leader in our organization. We're good. But if you want to give us over and beyond this pick, okay, give it to us. Because we can do this either way. We either draft our quarterback and start building that way, or we can have the 100 picks in so many drafts. We can do it that way. But either way, we're going to be headed down the right road.
So the tush push. According to ESPN, NFL owners plan to continue discussions about the Eagles' short yardage tush push play after tabling a proposal Tuesday to ban it, league officials said. The Green Bay Packers authored the proposal, which earned the support of 16 NFL teams. Two sources told ESPN's Kalen Kaler. NFL bylaws require a minimum of 24 votes to approve a change. The topic is likely to be revisited when owners gather for their spring meeting in May in Minnesota. So there appears to be some momentum behind banning the tush push. In this article on ESPN.com, it says, quote, "While there were some subjective concerns about the safety risk of the tush push, the NFL's health and safety department had no data that suggested a single injury had occurred as a result of the Eagles or any other team using it. The Buffalo Bills were the only other team that used it regularly last season, and they combined with the Eagles to call 65 of the 101 tush push runs in 2024. So you need 24 approvals to make a change. The NFL owners are reportedly at 16. Mm-hmm. So they're 2/3 of the way there. Do you think it gets there, Derek Mason?
Oh, boy.
And should it?
Quickly, I think this is real. Buzz Williams has been hired by Maryland, University of Maryland.
Yep, it's confirmed by Pete Pannell.
Their head basketball coach.
Yeah, so Buzz Williams of Texas A&M. Mm-hmm. Will now be the head coach of the Maryland Terrapins after their coach, Kevin Willard, bailed on Maryland to go coach Villanova. So that is indeed real for for you Aggies fans out
so
there.
So this is the point where you got to be cautious of what you say because it's April Fool's. So you got to be like, man, I got to make sure this is absolutely right.
ESPN pushed it out, so I feel it's true.
Yeah, so going back to the question, listen, this is what happened. You know, one team is uber successful at something. You know, then all of a sudden you may have one or two teams saying, well, we want to go against that. That shouldn't be allowed. And then the NFL either caves in and they, you know, say, yes, we're going to change the rules, or they put it off. And it seems like they're putting off the tush push.
At least for now.
For now. One, you know, they bring up injury. To my knowledge, I don't think there's been an injury when it comes to the tush push. At least not a catastrophic injury.
Here is a portion of the story on ESPN.com. Although there was no injury data to support a ban, NFL Chief Medical Officer Dr. Alan Sills did tell owners this week that the mechanics of the play could lead to injury, sources told ESPN. Another source told ESPN that some owners warned their colleagues that a serious injury was just a matter of time.
That is football, right? That the minute you line up on the football field, you strap up that helmet, you put on those pads, just the shoulder pads because they don't wear anything else when it comes to pads. So when you strap on that helmet, throwing them shoulder pads, strap on that helmet, and step on that field, the minute you do that, the likelihood of you getting injured goes up tremendously. The minute you put on that helmet and step on that field, now it goes from you being a zero liability to a 100%, well, 97% liability when it comes to injuries. That you will get injured somehow, some way in this game, or hurt. Which if you say hurt, it's 100%. You're going to have something's going to happen in the game. So for them, that's like, dude, if you don't have no data, don't make up crap. Or don't say, well, eventually it will happen. I'm tired of that stuff. When you have no data or the right data, and then now you want to push that and say, this is why we need to end, you know, this particular play. Well, give me the data showing that this play is more likely to have an injury than, say, just a regular quarterback push, I mean, a quarterback sneak, or a run up the middle, or run out the or catch in the middle of the field. Show me some data. Because that ultimately what it comes down to, if you can't show me the data that support what you're saying, then why are we even having this conversation? You know, there was data to support, you know, removing the wedge from the kickoff. Why? Because there were too many damn concussions. And guys were ultimately losing their lives because of it. That's real data. That's saying, okay, we got to eliminate this stuff. But when there's no data and you say, well, it may happen. Well, me going up for a pass, I may get hit and I may fall and get hurt. Do you want to outlaw that? No, they don't. So, listen, I understand that you may not be as successful as the Philadelphia Eagles. Well, you go get you a quarterback that can squat 600 pounds, an offensive line that averages 330 or 40 pounds. You go do that and then you'll be able to run that play with a high probability of you making it. I think the second place team was the Buffalo Bills at 70-some percent or 60-some percent.
The Eagles and the Bills were the two teams that made up the majority of the tush push runs.
Exactly. Why? Because they have big physical quarterbacks or strong quarterbacks, and the offensive line is big enough to do it. If you don't have that type of offensive line, like that, Baltimore Ravens can't do it with Lamar. Lamar's not big.
That's why they use Mark Andrews.
Exactly. They use Mark Andrews. Lamar is light in the backside. He can't squat 600 pounds, and he don't need to squat 600 pounds. You know, he's not that type of quarterback. The offensive line is not the biggest offensive line in the National Football League. Didn't they show y'all that stat about Philadelphia's offensive line? They're the biggest offensive line in the National Football League. I wonder why the Cowboys don't do it as much.
I thought it was in history.
It may be in history.
During the Super Bowl, they showed the average. I remember this graphic. During the Super Bowl, they showed the average height and weight of the Eagles' starting offensive linemen compared to, I think, the Packers' starting offensive linemen in the first Super Bowl, and it was just like ridiculous. Like the average weight, the Eagles were like 75 pounds heavier on average,
exactly,
or something like that.
Yeah. So my thing is, listen. y'all want to do it, but y'all can't do it, you know? So what if just because y'all can't do it, and it's not like y'all can't do it because we're telling y'all can't do it. No, y'all can't do it because y'all are not good at y'all are not better than Philadelphia or Buffalo at doing it. When you do it, it's more like 50-50.
Committee Chairman Rich McKay said last week and reiterated Tuesday that the league generally frowns on rule changes that target only one or two teams. The NFL prohibited players to push ball carriers for much of its history before changing its rules to allow it in 2005, citing the difficulty of officiating it. During Tuesday's meeting, McKay said the Packers offered to change the focus on potentially reinstating the historic rule. The distinction, sources told ESPN, is that it would also ban players from pushing ball carriers downfield and thus eliminate the focus on the Eagles' play.
Exactly, because now you are opening a can of worms. You're opening Pandora's box. Oh, we can't push at the line of scrimmage, but we can push down the field. That doesn't make like that. They're both football moves or football plays. So why is mine any different from yours? Because I've seen so many piles when guys catch a ball on the outside or a running back gets and he gets to the outside and he's trying to scrap for that extra yard. And all of a sudden you see all these big offensive linemen coming in and they're just running up fast. Push. That's more of a liability than anything, but they're not going to outlaw that. You know, they want to go to the tush push. Why? Because Philadelphia, nobody can stop it or they have a hard time at stopping it. But when you stop, when you say, okay, we are going to outlaw that. What's different from that than pushing somebody down the field, period? And they're not, and we're not, you know, saying it's a tush push. It's still pushing somebody's tush, ain't it, down the field? How many times have we seen piles down the field get pushed for 3-4 seconds? And the announcer, oh, look at him. He's driving it. Look at the other guys, his teammates. They're pushing him 2, 3, 4. Look at him. He's not down. And no whistles are being blown. So what's the difference?
Sean McVay, Rams head coach, was on Pro Football Talk with Mike Florio talking about the tush push yesterday. This was before the news that they were tabling this for another month or so. This was Sean McVay with Mike Florio.
Where do you stand on the tush push?
Here's what I would say. I don't, and I told these guys this, I don't believe in taking something out because they do it better than anybody else. That, and I told both John and Howie that when we were talking yesterday. What I don't like is the optics of that play. It looks like a rugby scrum. And there are some health and safety things, which those things exist in short yardage and goal line situations as well. So I'm kind of conflicted because you don't want to be a hater because they do it better than anybody else. So I don't agree with that. But I also wish we didn't let the play in the first place in regards to just the optics of what it looks like. Doesn't look like football to me.
It doesn't look like football. It is football. What isn't more football than that? That is the essence of football. Me versus you. You trying to stop me from gaining the line that I need for first down. What is not more football than that? That's essentially football. But again, because you can't, I know he said it, I hate to, no, but you can't have it both ways. So to me, that is what football truly is right there. Us versus you.
Would you like me to point out the teams that have openly expressed opposition to the tush push?
Yes, go ahead.
This is according to CBS. The Atlanta Falcons. Coach Raheem Morris went on record, as he's done previously, describing his dislike for the play and for what his team must do to stop it. Buffalo. Coach Sean McDermott said Tuesday he's concerned with player safety on the push play, even though there's not significant medical data out there to this point, which is interesting because the Bills run the play. The only other, the only team that comes close to running this play as successfully as the Eagles is the Bills. So the Falcons and the Bills are on record. The Cowboys. Co-owner Stephen Jones indicated Dallas will vote against the push, desiring consistency in rule enforcement as linebackers aren't currently permitted to push defensive linemen when defending extra points. The Packers, the only team to officially propose a ban of the play, so obviously they're in favor of eliminating it. And the Rams, based on what Sean McVay just said.
Okay, so... So Dallas says, well, because we can't push our linebackers on an extra point. Okay, I get that, but that's been in. But you can push your linebacker if it's 4th and 1, can't you? I don't think there's a rule saying, hey, listen, you can't push your linebacker. You can't push your defensive tackle when it's fourth and one. You can't push them. But you can't do it. They just don't want you to hit the center in that situation. Because why? The center is typically a undersized guy. And, you know, well, on punt he is, but on what you call it, he's not. He's usually the center. But typically is a it's different from an actual offensive play. So they outlawed that a while ago. But that's nothing like a quarterback sneak. You know, they didn't say on defense linebackers, y'all can't push the defensive tackles on fourth and one in actual, you know, first, second, or third down. They said you couldn't do it on field goal or on extra points. So, again, it's like, man, are y'all just proposing things just to do it? Like, I don't get this one.
So those are the teams, the Falcons, Bills, Cowboys, Packers, and Rams, who have been on the record, at least, opposing the tush push. Here are the teams that have been on the record and supporting it. Obviously, the Eagles, mm-hmm. because they are the purveyors of the tush push. The Ravens, mm-hmm. John Harbaugh labeled the push a football play, though he left the door open for a change of opinion if medical experts advise against it. Mm-hmm. The Panthers, the Browns, the Texans, the Colts, the Patriots, the Saints, the Jets, and, of course, the Eagles. Those are the teams who are in favor of it. New coach, new Jets coach Aaron Glenn indicated it's his job to, quote, stop that play, not ban it. He gave credit to the Eagles for, quote, creating a good play that's hard to defend.
Exactly. Because you have a hard time at defending it doesn't mean you should outlaw it. It is a football move. They're not doing anything illegal. They're not doing anything that you can't then turn around and do against them. They're just better at stopping. They're just better at you not stopping them and them stopping you. Because you could just as easily run it on them if you wanted to against them or run it against everybody else. But you don't run it with the precision that the Philadelphia Eagles run it with. And your offensive line is not as big as theirs. And your quarterback doesn't squat 600 pounds. You know? So, listen, the NFL could, I think they could find better time than voting whether to keep this play in or not. Again, I could see if it was a play that, you know, four or five guys got injured because even if one guy, we can think about one guy.
To my knowledge, and correct me if I'm wrong here, I don't recall a player suffering a serious injury because of this play yet.
Exactly, yeah. And I get it. It can. But if that is indeed the case, again, you might – this whole thing – I think this could eventually open up Pandora's box and it could lead to it going somewhere it doesn't need or affecting other plays that it doesn't need to affect. So much so, what happened with pass interference when they decided, oh, we're going to replay this? It became just the worst thing in the world. And then what happened in the very next season? They took it out. Nope, we're no longer doing that. I think the same thing will happen. It is why? Because I think it will bleed into other things.
615-737-1025. Where do you stand on the great Tush Bush debate of 2025? The NFL tabling this discussion for another month, reportedly. There are 16 teams that support banning it. The NFL would need 24 teams to approve it in order to make the change. 615-737-1025. Hey, the Atlanta Braves country road trip is coming to town and teaming up with the Nashville Predators and us right here at 1025 The Game. Join us at the BetMGM Sports Lounge in Bridgestone Arena on Wednesday, April 16th for a Braves watch party as they take on the Tampa Bay Rays at noon. There will be free giveaways such as hats and t-shirts, plus you can win autographed baseballs and free tickets. For more details, visit thegamenashville.com/events. D. Mason, Gindonic, 1025, 1063, The Game. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. Talking tush push. Clay is on our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. Clay wants to get in on this. Clay, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Good.
D. Mace.
What's going on?
I called you and Willie the other day talking about the NCAA tournament, and I've got something to say to you man to man, my man.
What's happening?
I was at the 1999 AFC Championship game in Jacksonville, and I remember your punt return. And I've talked about this about you about this to you before, you know, on the radio when you've been on various shows. I wore your jersey. I alternated between you and Keith Bullock. You were my two guys. I mean, you're what, 5'9", 5'10", right?
5'11".
5'11".
Yeah. Don't sell them short,
yeah,
Clay.
Don't sell them short, but let's go with it.
Flack got it done. Mm-hmm. I mean, I respect you. You were a hell of a player, and I just have the ultimate respect for you, my man.
Thank you. I appreciate that. That means a lot.
I was at Steve's funeral. Your eulogy was beautiful. And, you know, that's powerful, Derek. Mm-hmm. Very powerful. Because you lost a brother. Somebody you went to war with. But anyway, as far as the tush-push, I'm not crazy about it simply because I'm kind of a Dallas Cowboy fan too. Love the team, do not like the owner, though, as a lot of people don't. So being a kind of a Cowboys fan, you know, obviously I don't like the Philadelphia Eagles, and they're so good at it. They seem to be the best at it. I don't know. I like what was said a minute ago about it being kind of like a rugby scrum. It just doesn't seem like a football play to me. It's impossible, it seems to me, for anybody to stop the Eagles, you know, when they do it. And so I don't know, you know, so I'm not for it. I just don't think it's good for the game. I guess that's my comment.
Thanks for the call, Clay.
Thank you, Clay, and thank you for all the nice words you said at the beginning of that as well. Listen, to me, this play one, it is a football play, I do believe. Because didn't the Kansas City Chiefs try this or the quarterback sneak or something like that? And they really didn't get it, but they got it against Buffalo. Was it just a quarterback sneak or a tush push kind of deal?
I don't recall.
But either way, I think it was one or the other. But it was a controversy because did he make it or did he not? What I think the league should do when you're talking about this play, because there have been so many times that I've watched the game and I'm thinking like, why are y'all not blowing the whistle? This is how somebody gets hurt. I've said that over and over again. This is how somebody gets hurt. Why? Because you're not blowing the whistle. The play is it's done. Blow the whistle. Don't let nobody else come in and try to, you know, push the pile. Blow the whistle. I think that's what will start to happen now. Because they haven't figured this thing out, and I don't think they really want to, because that's just being hyperbolic. It's just being, oh, this team running more than everybody else, so we need to change it. No. I think the best thing to do is, you don't want any injury, and there's no data of any injuries. I hope there never is an injury in regards to this play. But those whistles should be blown a lot quicker than what they are, because they allow these things to linger, whether it be down the field and it's a pile going on or at the line of scrimmage. Those whistles don't come in until like 3 seconds later. Somebody could have got hurt in those 3 seconds. There need to be a quicker whistle, because if you give me 3 seconds to push somebody over the pile, eventually I am going to, it's going to happen. So to me, there needs to be a quicker whistle, a quicker dead ball. Like, it's the play is dead. There need to be a much faster whistle on that than to take the play out completely. I think start there first and see how that works.
Jason Lloyd at The Athletic wrote a column that was published yesterday, so before the news that the voting has been tabled. Tush-push vote in the name of player safety leaves impression of weakness and hypocrisy, according to Jason Lloyd of The Athletic. He writes in part, quote, as the league gathers here to vote Tuesday on whether to abolish the unique form of the quarterback sneak. Let's be clear. This isn't a player safety issue, no matter how many coaches or GMs want to frame it as such. Teams have unsuccessfully tried for years to stop it. Now they're giving up on the idea of defending it on the field and instead attempting to ban it without any data to support their cause. He continues, there is no data to support the idea that the tush push leads to more injuries. None, at least none that have been made public. Those who are against it, like Buffalo Bills coach Sean McDermott, are projecting that it could be dangerous based on the added force involved in the rugby-style play and a player's posture in both executing it and trying to stop it. The league and Players Association have volumes of data on injuries and injury prevention that they continue to ignore. For instance, there is plenty of data regarding grass versus turf fields. Players overwhelmingly prefer competing on natural grass. Mass General Brigham Hospital released a study last year indicating that about 20% more non-contact injuries occur on a turf surface than on grass. An NFLPA survey last year revealed 92% of players prefer playing on natural grass to turf. Has the league worked to ban turf as a player safety issue?
Nope.
Of course not. Roughly half the league still plays on it. It's disingenuous to identify the tush push as standing up for player safety when the league closes its eyes to real safety concerns, such as adding an 18th game.
See, that's the hypocrisy. That's the, you know, wanting your cake and eating it too. We'll talk about, you know, if indeed we do ban the tush push. Yeah, we'll ban the tush push, but we're going to add another game to your schedule. Wouldn't adding another game to my schedule increase the likelihood of me getting injured than the tush push?
Probably.
Yep. You don't even have to answer it. It probably would. More than likely it would. There are other issues that the NFL is more of a reactive league. Some other leagues are more proactive. The NFL has always been reactive. I pray no one gets hurt or have a significant injury when dealing with the tush push or any short yardage play period. But you know, eventually, you know, the odds say eventually somebody will twist an ankle or something. Somebody will get hurt. And then there will be this huge uproar of, I told you, you should have banned it. No, it happens. This is football. You know, injuries are going to happen. Did injuries stop because you outlawed, you know, helmet-to-helmet hit? Did concussions stop? No. They went down, yes. But did they stop? No, they didn't. So, again, I am sort of, it's one of those deals where, man, y'all may be going a little bit too far, but y'all don't want to change other things that have scientific data to prove that by you doing this, it's causing more harm than good. But I'm sure it's a lot cheaper for you to put turf down than it is to maintain grass.
Wayne in Hopkinsville says, as a Packer fan, I think it's ironic that the Packers have run the love shove for the past two seasons and have been very effective with it, considering that the Packers were the team that introduced this proposal to ban the tush push. Brian says rugby players are absolute warriors. Be warriors, keep the tush push in the game. One texter says the tush push is equivalent to William Refrigerator Perry running the ball on the goal line. I love it. It also doesn't surprise me that the Titans didn't vote either way. Now, we don't know that. It's just they haven't been on the record about it.
Exactly. Didn't I just say that when we were on break? Mm-hmm. It would be like trying to ban, you know, William Refrigerator Perry from being in the backfield, where he's 370 pounds, and anybody that's going to tackle him at that point of time was at least 40 pounds lighter. At least 40 pounds lighter. Okay, and I'm talking about defensive linemen back there too. Back then, too. He was probably the biggest guy out there. So don't put Jeffrey Simmons in the backfield no more. Don't put any of these linemen that are 350, 60 pounds. Don't put him in the backfield to block for you or to run the football, because he running up against my 210-pound or 190-pound safety that's coming off the edge or corner, that ain't a matchup. He's more likely to get hurt than Jeffrey Simmons at 320 pounds. So outlaw that stuff too. But they're not. So why just aim at the tush push? Again, there is no scientific data that you have formed. And I know the tush push is kind of new, but there's no scientific data that you have that put together or have, had that states that this play increases the chances of you getting injured. It's just like any other play.
The tush push has been in use for 3 seasons now,
mm-hmm.
3-4 seasons. That is plenty of time, exactly. In my opinion, to have data to show you whether or not it leads to serious injury.
Exactly.
Again, I understand that mm-hmm. it doesn't, as some of the coaches who are against it are saying, there's the possibility mm-hmm. of injury, which is true. But like you also said, Derek, someone who played this sport for 15 years at the NFL level, every play in football leaves you subject to injury.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't get behind this idea. Well, it might eventually cause injury. Now, if this particular play had caused multiple critical injuries mm-hmm. already, then I would absolutely be on board with banning it. But it feels to me, mm-hmm. as you've been saying so eloquently, that it just feels like an excuse for every other team to say, well, we can't stop it, so we're just going to ban it so we don't have to worry about it.
Even
anymore.
The teams that are successful at
right, that's why I find the Bills' inclusion in this to be interesting. The Bills are apparently on the side of getting rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
They're the only team that comes close to doing it as well as the Eagles.
Because they may have to face the Eagles in the Super Bowl. That's the way I see it. But again,
that's possibly.
I know people will say, you know, Derek, you just said that the league is not, because I think about all these things before I say them. So I think about the counter more than anything. Well, Derek, you said that the league is not proactive. They're more so reactive. Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I would want them to be proactive. But this is not one where the numbers show over the course of the last 3 years and they just ignored the numbers. Or how does this push the game forward by outlawing this? I don't think it does. When I'm talking about being proactive, I'm talking about things that you do that pushes your game forward. And the NFL has been lagging at that. But this is not one of those reasons where, oh, we need to be in the forefront of getting rid of the tush push or the love shove or the big booty tootie push, whatever you want to call it. Okay? Lakers in 5. No. No, I want the league to be proactive, but this is not a situation where the league needs to be proactive. Just stand down on this one, NFL. Let it play out, and I do pray that no one gets hurt, as I do with all these guys when they step foot on that field.
615-737-1025. We will take your thoughts on the tush push on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Let me also remind you that our program, D. Mace, Fingan, and Donick, is proudly presented by Bet365. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. We will wrap up the show next. Derek Mason, Adam Fingan, 1025, 1063, the game. D. Mace, Fingan, and Donick, 1025, 1063, the game. I haven't heard this before.
I've heard it. My son he's sung the words to it. I mean, there are so many. This is why it's just like, you know, this generation of kids, as much as maybe some people my age or a little bit older than me may think, you know, what some of these kids are doing. These kids are so talented, I tell you, man. The things that they can do with computers and all this other stuff. I mean, yeah, some people use it in a bad way, I get it. But, man, stuff like that, like I would have never thought to do that when I was young. Hell, we ain't barely had computers then.
You grew up in the good old days of
just floppy disk.
Walking to and fro school
exactly.
in the cold.
We ain't had no video phone and all that other stuff. But no, these kids, I mean, whoever, I'm sure is a younger person.
You used to have to get a map at AAA.
Exactly.
And it was a gigantic map that you had to unfurl. You didn't even have MapQuest or Google Maps. You couldn't print out directions.
You had to make sure you had a quarter to call someone.
Yeah, the good old days. From that respect. the good old days from that respect. But yeah, these young folks are so darn talented. It's pathetic. Yeah, but that's funny. My son was singing that to me. I'm like, they make up anything. It doesn't matter. Like, sometimes I don't think this group of kids are as serious. But I'm trying to think, was I serious back in when I was 18, 19 years old? That serious? I was still messing around telling jokes and all that stuff. So they take situations like that and they make fun of it, which is good in a sense. So, but yeah, that's funny.
So although the tush push conversation was tabled, mm-hmm. NFL owners did indeed approve a significant change to the league's kickoff structure at these meetings. The touchback on kickoffs will be marked at the 35-yard line for the 2025 season, a move that league officials and special teams coaches said will prompt a significant increase in the return rate. The new language reflects the original intent of the massive revamp the NFL instituted in 2024 when final negotiations resulted in a touchback spotted at the 30. That left many coaches comfortable kicking touchbacks in 2024, and the league produced a return rate of 32.8%. Denver Broncos special teams coach Darren Rizzi, one of the primary architects of the revamp, projected a 2025 return rate between 70 and 75%.
See, when you're talking about taking football plays out of football, and I understand why they did it, because they were trying to cut down on head injuries.
And by the way, the concussion rate on kickoffs last season dropped 43% from 2023.
I get why they did it, and I applaud them, for trying to find ways, because all of this came up because of the lawsuit. Let's not forget that. But trying to find ways to make the game safer. But you can't go so far one side that part. I am passionate about this. Why? Because anybody that knows my career, it started there. That particular play, which they are trying to remove from the game. That play, and I understand, because of the head injuries that were happening, it's a violent play. But that particular play right there helped my career propel. That play, had they not had that in, I wouldn't have had as many returns as I had. I wouldn't have been able to show that once the ball's in my hand, I can make something happen. I have the ability to run things back, score touchdowns, or put teams in a really good position, as I did when I was the returner for the Titans. And then when you go so far as to basically eliminate it, so what you're doing, man, is you're taking opportunities away from other guys that may not make the team outside a kickoff return or kickoff. Why? Because you put it at such a place where there's no more kickoffs, period. Instead of thinking about this truly, and I understand that it's sort of trial and error. You went to extreme, now you kind of reeling it, you're kind of loosening up the strings a little bit. So I get it. I understand you had to nip it in the bud so the percentages could drop drastically. So I get that part. But in doing that, you took away that, like, special teams is unique. It's called special teams for a reason, okay? Because you're taking a collection of different players, offensively, defensively, non-starters, starters, and you're all putting them in this room. And this is considered a special unit because we all don't work together all the time. But this is a special unit to go out there to try to do something out of the normal first, second, third down to try to generate either a big play, either way. And you don't know how much that meant. Guys to this day still talk about, man, when you as a returner, we always started at the 35-40, it seemed like. You always put us in a good position. You can't say that now. Because they've outlawed everything. They've put such a stranglehold on it that now you are not even getting returns no more. Guys see the ball in the air and they walking the other way. It's like, that's not football. That's not exciting. I want it to be where it's a tie game with a minute left and I get an opportunity to affect the football game with my return. Not, oh, man, they just going to kick it through the back of the end zone and I just walk off the field. That's not football. So I'm glad the NFL is trying to, and they tried it last year. That's why they gave you the zones. They were trying to get people to kick more so in the zones and put the ball at the 30 if you didn't. But that didn't work. Okay, if y'all want to, y'all don't want, okay, we're going to put it at the 35 now and see what y'all do. Bring that play back to the game. I miss it. And I'm sure there are people out there like me that miss it. Ask Devin Hester. He wouldn't have made it to the Hall of Fame. Literally. Devin Hester wouldn't have made it to the Hall of Fame if it wasn't because of that play. Literally. So why go that far to try to reach, you know, try to stranglehold a play and try to take it out the game? Because that's what you were trying to do essentially, is remove that play from the game. And I kept saying, no, you can't. So I'm glad they've changed the rules once again.
Do you think it will, that 5-yard adjustment will make a huge difference?
I think so, especially late in the game. Because there's a difference between, that's why they moved it up to the 35. There's a difference between, especially with some of these quarterbacks, man, and these high explosive offenses, there's a difference between starting at the 30 and the 35-yard line. There's a big difference. So I understand why, okay, y'all don't want to, we're going to put the ball at 35 and see how many of y'all, kick or return balls now. Or put the ball in a position where it can be returned, as opposed to just kicking it out the back of the end zone.
Do you have any April Fool's jokes before we leave?
No, I don't have any April Fool's jokes. I don't know.
Y'all look great today, April Fools. Y'all look great every day.
I thought about something, but I was like, nah, I can't do it. I don't want to do it. Because, it goes to that, you know, what can you say on the air, like April Fool's wise, that won't get people, you know, you don't want to, you know, make somebody think something happening ain't really happening about somebody else. Now, I did it last year by myself, and people believed it.
Yeah, you really upset some of the listeners, apparently.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't. It was just April Fool's. See? Even April Fool's.
But here's something that is never a joke. Mm-hmm. We had a wonderful time on today's show. Doesn't matter if it's April 1st, April 2nd, April 3rd, April 4th, any day of the year. We had a wonderful time with all of you. That'll do it for us today on April Fool's Day. Predators an hour earlier today. Pregame at 5, puck drop at 6 in Columbus. Barry Trotz will join Jared Stillman at 4 o'clock instead of the usual 5 o'clock. Remember the animated game on News Channel 5 at 6 o'clock. Max Herz, Chris Mason on the call. If you've got little ones, check it out. I'm sure they'll love it. Something else you'll love. Stillman & Company, coming up next. 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
And his special guest, Rand Carthon.
That
big April Fool's
would be an
right
April
there.
Fool's joke. We should have done that. We should have teased an exclusive interview with Jared and Rand Carthon or Chad Brinker. Oh man, I missed out.
See, I thought about it too late.
All right, take us out,
Jared. Oh man, but once again, people, love your people, love those around you, extend your love even further than that. Because don't just love the people around you. Extend it even further than that. Be safe. Be wonderful. Be blessed. Have a safe, wonderful Tuesday. Today is Tuesday, right? All right, then. Talk to you tomorrow. Peace.